And greetings, friends around the world. This is Roderick C. Meredith with this series on the book of Matthew. We've been going through the entire book of Matthew, almost verse by verse, for a number of weeks now. This is going to help you really understand this book, this introductory book to the entire New Testament, which in one sense lays the foundation for the whole New Testament, the new covenant of God. And in the way it's written, it helps really do that. Let's go into the book of Matthew now, chapter 24. I began chapter 24 last time, but I want to review the first few verses and then go on, and if we can, finish this verse, or this chapter, I should say, today. So open your Bibles, follow along with me, and you'll get a lot more out of it. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" He was not talking about the end of the, just that little society right there, but the end of the age, the end of 6,000 years of human experience as we know it. And certainly he talked about that, as you'll see, not just what happened in 70 AD to Jerusalem. That was a small type, only a small type of the time of the end. And so Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." That's the first thing to watch out for. He warned about a whole wave of false prophets. He said, "Many will come in my name." Not a few, but apparently the majority. And certainly when you understand it from all the other scriptures, it is the majority. "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many." Jesus said they would deceive the many. And then he said there'll be wars, and then world wars, and then there will be famines, disease epidemics, and earthquakes. And even as I speak, we've recently had a couple of terrible earthquakes, one in Mexico, in El Salvador, I mean, and Mexico too, a year or so ago, but the recent one in El Salvador, and then this horrifying earthquake in India, and the defense minister said the death toll could go as high as 100,000. It may only be 20 or 25,000, but it could go, he said, as high as 100,000 dead, plus tens of thousands injured, homeless, and a horrifying catastrophe. These earthquakes are getting more frequent. They're getting more powerful. And that is going to continue, my friends. It honestly is. I can say that on the authority of this book, not just because I know anything about earthquakes in a technical sense, but because God says so, and God is beginning to intervene now in human affairs. Then you go on here. He said, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then they will deliver you, the true saints of God, up to tribulation, kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Somewhere on this earth is a church of God. It's called the little flock in the Bible, and God always describes his true church as the little flock, a scattered people, a people that were not the big, powerful, broad-based groups that dominate society, but the called out ones. And at the time of the end, somehow, perhaps through their work, they're going to be known and hated. You can't hate someone if you don't know him. Hated by all nations. My friends, they will hate the growing realization that they themselves are wrong. You know, people may not even admit it to themselves, but when they feel they're wrong, they feel guilty, they don't like it. And they're going to hate the true servants of God at the time of the end. They really are. And then many false prophets will rise up, a whole extra wave at the very end of false prophets, and deceive many. Again, not few, but many. And because lawlessness, he's not talking, as I said, about the traffic laws, all they had was donkeys and oxen. They're talking about God's laws here. Lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We've got to endure to the end and walk with God throughout our lives if we want to be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You're hearing that message right now, the gospel of the coming government of God to be set up on this earth through Jesus Christ. He goes on here to say, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let he who reads understand." And he does talk about that abomination of desolation back in Daniel in a number of places. I'm going to read you just one place because we don't have time to go into a whole sermonette here on that particular topic. Daniel 11, my friends, in verse 31, He's talking very definitely about the time of the end, and he says, and forces shall be mustered by him, this coming dictator, to rise up in Europe, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice. See, there's going to be some kind of an altar or temple where they're going to have sacrifices again in Jerusalem, and place there the abomination of desolation. Now, the type of this was Antioch Epiphanes. A couple hundred years before Christ did the same thing. He came in and he offered swine's flesh right on the altar of God. It was a horrible thing. And God shows that's going to be repeated again. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. God grant that that is us, that we will be faithful people of God. And those are the people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days, but they shall fall by the sword, flame, captivity, and plundering. So the God's people are going to be persecuted, but they will warn the world, and they will do a mighty work at the time of the end, just at the time when this great false leader will come in and place the abomination of desolation, apparently right in Jerusalem, in some sort of temple or altar. That is something to watch for, a specific event right there in Jerusalem, in the holy place. Let him who reads, let him understand. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains and not come back to get anything out of his house. And he says in verse 20, pray that your flight, God's people are going to have a flight at that time, the place of safety, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath day. They knew which day he was talking about. He didn't talk about Sunday. He talked about the Sabbath day to these Jewish people. And they knew that. And yet he said that Sabbath day should be observed even at the end. Because he's talking here about the final flight at the very end of this age. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The greatest national trial or tribulation in human history. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Every human being would be annihilated from off this planet. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. God will intervene. We're in that time, my friends. Up until the last number of years, people could not annihilate all flesh from off this earth. But in this last generation, they were able to do that for the first time. Cosmicide. And so we're living at the time of the end before the great tribulation preceding Christ's coming. Then, if anyone says to you, look here, here's Christ, or there, don't believe it. He's not going to come off in some secret place. For false Christs and false prophets will arise. Think about that. At the very end, false Christs, as well as false prophets, will arise and show great signs and wonders. False miracles will be performed through the power of demons, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you. Therefore, if they say to you, he's in the desert or out here or there, don't believe it. For where the people will be gathered together, he says, the carcass, in other words, the eagles or vultures are gathered, so God's people are going to be where Christ returns. You don't have to go off and look for him. He's not going to be hiding off somewhere. Then the sign of the Son of Man, verse 30, will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. A great blinding light, Christ's face like the sun shining, coming down out of heaven, and people are scared to death. And the tribes of the earth are not going to be happy. They're going to mourn. They're going to be sorry. They have not been taught the truth. They've been taught a lie. And they may have been taught that this is the Antichrist coming. They're not going to rejoice when Christ comes. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, the winds of this earth's atmosphere. He's coming down here. The saints will rise to meet him in the air, and they will come right on down to this earth. I want to pause for a moment, my friends, and tell you about this book, The Beast of Revelation. This is a wonderful, wonderful little booklet, The Beast of Revelation. You need this understanding. It will open up your eyes to understand who this coming beast is and who this coming false prophet is, who's going to place this abomination of desolation right in God's temple. And this booklet will help you understand this entire chapter of Matthew pretty well, too. So contact us and try to get this booklet and read it and study it. Click the order free button. Click the order free button on our website. That's all you have to do, and request this booklet. It will be sent absolutely free. It's powerful. It spells things right out. It has charts in here telling you exactly what this beast is in the order of events, the beast of Revelation. Click our website, click the order free button, and you can request this booklet. Now let's go on. Jesus said, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near." And he gives a number of examples here. "This generation shall not pass till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth may pass," he said, "that my word shall not pass away." Christ is coming back, and these things cannot be changed. "But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." He said, just as they were eating and drinking, people are going right on, right up until the Great Tribulation. Many people in many parts of the world are going to go right on living as though nothing happened. Then there's going to be a 3.5-year tribulation with the peoples, frankly, of the American, Canadian, British, of New Zealand, Australian, South African populations, many of them and others taken into a place of slavery. And they're going to be punished by God. Those people, the descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, are going to be bearing the brunt of the Great Tribulation. And at the end of that time, they're going to be freed, of course, by Christ, those who are still alive, which will be very few. But during that 3.5 years, after they've conquered us, there probably will be about a 2 or 2.5 year period where up and down the boulevards of this beast power, people are going to be happy, and they're clicking their beer steins together and their wine glasses, and they're going to think everything's okay. And they won't understand that they're right before the second coming of Christ, and he's going to smash that beast power like a huge rock crushing the kingdoms of this earth. They won't understand that. And so will it be, like the coming of the Son of Man be. They'll be going right on, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. "Then two men will be in the field, one taken and the other left." Two slaves, maybe, and this beast power will be working together, and one will be a servant of God and taken at the last trump, and one won't. "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming," he said here in verse 42. Now notice verse 43. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour," you see, really, exactly when the thief was coming, "he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore," he said, "you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." We all want to understand that. Unless we're watching and praying, Christ's coming is going to sneak up on us. And all of you need to be tuned into this book, to the Word of God, and watching world events and praying for understanding and praying for Christ's righteousness. Pray that he will live his life in you and yield yourself so he will live his life in you. "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." We've got to be busy doing God's work right up to the end. "Blessed is that servant. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods." That's our reward, to be kings and priests, to be rulers under Christ in the coming tomorrow's world, the coming kingdom of God on this earth. "But if that evil servant says, my master's delaying his coming," you know, some talk about that, and a lot of mainline preachers, they say, well, this stuff of Christ's coming has been talked about all these years. Nothing's ever happened. Nothing's ever going to change, and so forth. If he says that and begins to beat his fellow servants, to punish, you know, and beat up on the true servants of God, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, and that could be spiritual drunkenness as well, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, at an hour he's not aware of. He'll be blinded. He won't know what's ahead. He's not watching and praying, and he does not understand. "And will cut him in two and appoint him as portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." My friends, there's going to be great sorrow from those who've not been willing to listen to the truth and to do what this book says. Please understand that. Ask God to open your mind and your heart to be willing to live by every word of God. Don't play games. We're near the time of the end. Try to understand. Yield to God. Surrender to Him. And let Christ live His life in you. Get this booklet on the Beast of Revelation. Study it. Pray about it. Understand. Act on the truth. We'll see you next time. This is Roderick Meredith for the Living Church of God.